This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. We don't have time for that, ASAP Ferg. It is just after 7 o'clock, CliffCentral.com. A couple of news things we want to get into. We've got a guest popping by a little later on. It's going to be a busy day. Okay. Oh, I haven't mentioned this yet, but we've been chosen as a finalist in the New York Festival Awards, which is a pretty prestigious international podcasting award. And I didn't mention it the other day because I wasn't sure how much I could say about it, but we'll have a final word on that not too far from now. We should know by June, which is just around the corner, whether or not we've won. And that was for Blind History, which I know has received rave reviews from a lot of people, so thank you if you've been a supporter of that. And I'll keep you updated as the information starts to come through about whether or not we've won. Cool, huh?
That's very nice, Gareth.
Yes. All right, let's get into some news. A few things that are worth remarking on this morning. And if you've got anything on your mind, you can get hold of us on 079-748-2090. That's the number you can get us on if you want to send us a voice note, which we prefer, because then we can play it in the show. If you want to send us a message, or if you've got a comment to make about something that's going on. Sia, you had a couple of things on your mind this morning. What do you want to get into?
Ooh, this is definitely going to stir some people up the wrong way.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, you know, when it comes to technology and amusement parks and entertainment, there are teams across the world who always love to push boundaries and see what else we can do. First was all about 3D, then was about 4D, then was about, you know, you go into these theme parks now and they make you want to feel the actual rain if you're watching a movie about rain. I don't know, the list is endless, because now there's a new theme park who's giving their own spin on this.
Yeah. Where is this theme park?
It's in Tennessee in the United States.
Okay.
And you let me know if this works for you. They just have launched this past week a new ride with the National Enquirer Live. They're calling it an immersive museum.
Mm-hmm.
That is based on some of the big stories in popular culture over the past couple of years, including the Princess Diana fatal crash themed ride.
So you go on a ride, and that is horrendous.
So this ride will reenact the car crash that killed Princess Diana.
Oh.
It will be a recreated 3D experience. And the museum is totally behind this. They're saying there's no blood, there's none of that. You see the car crash through computer animation. It's projected and you see the buildings and everything in a 3D presentation, and it shows the pathway as she left the Ritz Hotel, and then you also see the paparazzi chasing her, and then you see the bang flash that we think blinded the driver and how it happened. So they say it's definitely not in poor taste.
Look,
it's just showing the root of what happened.
Like an interactive sort of 3D museum display, as they've described it, is a little bit different than if there was like a train track with swirling and winding curves and loops that you got into a cart with like six people in front of you and rode the Princess Di death ride.
Like, I think it's bad either way. It's just horrible, right? Is there a redeeming quality about this thing?
It's a historical event. Mm. And instead of having to look at it on a piece of paper mapping the route, you can see like a visual representation. Oh, look, I'm trying to play devil's advocate and say, look, it's not as bad as if you frame it as an amusement park ride themed on the death of Princess Di, then it's a lot worse than an interactive 3D display where you can go and look at that historical event mapped out using technology.
Yeah, I don't even Gareth, your face.
I don't like this.
So.
I'm not a squeamish guy. I just think this is really horrible.
I agree, it's in poor taste either way.
I really do think it is a horrible taste. I don't even think it's a case of too soon or not. It's just a sensitive matter. Someone lost their life. But one of the investors in this theme ride says that it's done very professionally. And then after you've been on this ride, visitors are urged to then take part in a poll whether they believe a number of conspiracy theories, including claims that Princess Diana was pregnant at the time of her death, or that she was murdered on the orders of Buckingham Palace.
This is disgusting.
Isn't it just?
That's disgusting. These people should be ashamed of themselves. You know, we see Cersei Lannister in that episode ages ago. Where's my shame bell? Bring me my shame bell.
Shame.
We haven't brought this up in a while.
Bring me the shame bell. Let's ring that goddamn thing. This is shameful. And why is it that some people have no shame? Ooh. No shame.
The bell hasn't been around. That's why.
Well, shame. Shame. Shame.
Throw feces. We're throwing feces for authenticity.
Yeah.
Shame bell. Haven't heard that.
Bring that out every now and then.
Yeah, I'm just shocked that it's even got to this point. That it was approved by the overall theme park, and I'm sure the authorities, something like this has to go through, and it was actually built, and the fact that it has now launched. Well, yeah. It's open to the public from the 24th of May, so it is officially open now. Yeah, just seems a bit odd from my side.
Alright, well, I don't know. There's gotta be a better ride. I mean, been on the Pirates of the Caribbean. I've been on the Jurassic Park ride. Those I can understand. You know, in Pirates of the Caribbean, we've had enough time. If they did an Amelia Earhart ride, I think it's not too soon.
Dragon ride through Westeros.
That's fine. It's total fantasy.
I think timing is the issue here.
I think it's timing as well.
It's not like you can't exactly go hashtag too soon on this. It's been a while.
That's my point, is that timing isn't the issue with this thing.
Speaking of hashtag too soon, has anybody watched the historical roast?
No.
So this is just unbelievable. If you're in the mood for something tasteless, this is something Jeff Ross, who's the Roastmaster General over at Comedy Central, put together. Basically, they've got the roast of Anne Frank, which is...
Holy shit.
To talk about too
soon. Holy shit.
Okay, so... They start off the show going, the whole thing is too soon. And among other things, I played a clip of him yesterday. Gilbert Gottfried is Adolf Hitler.
Oh my God, he's so funny when he's funny.
You don't think he's funny at all, Ben?
He's just a shouty guy with a stupid voice.
That's his thing though.
I know that's his thing, but that's just not funny.
Okay.
His shouty voices some funny things though.
It's worth watching. Just look it up. You'll find it on the internet. I'm not sure exactly where. But I saw Dory, who works with us here. She showed me a clip of it yesterday.
Pretty sure if you Google roast of Anne Frank, it'll come up.
Yeah,
you're not going to get, like, Google return 750 million results.
But it's amazing that this can even exist in 2019, because we are living in a terrifically politically correct time. And I'm surprised that they got this made into a show. I'm surprised anybody okayed this. There's someone very, very brave and or stupid who put this
up. I feel like you're about to play something.
No, I'm not going to. No, we don't have time. And also these clips are long and I don't want to find the parts that are boring by mistake. And, you know, you got to go and look for it yourself. There's a bit of homework.
Yeah. And you decide if it's hashtag too soon or not.
Yeah. You make up your own mind. We're not
or hashtag forward. Too late, which was the ultimate outcome of that story.
Oh, God. Okay. I see where you went there.
Someone said that whole thing is on Netflix and it's epic. A 3D display of Gaddafi in his final moment being stabbed in the ass of that big knife would be hilarious, though. Imagine that from a first-person view, says somebody else. Well, there we go. I mean, maybe a Gaddafi ride.
Did they literally stab him in the ass? Mm-hmm. I know they stabbed him all over, but was
it up
the... Did
you ever see that?
Yeah, I kind of watched, but I didn't see the detail of exactly where they bum stabbed him.
Mm. See, in my mind, I'm trying to play off, is it because Prince Diana was loved by a lot of people that this is sensitive? But also, even if someone was horrible in their life, I still don't want to see that.
Yeah, especially when you die in a car crash, it's like, let's relive the car crash.
It's horrible.
But I mean, I still wouldn't even go
if they did a thing like this about the JFK assassination, I'd be interested to see that.
Yeah.
But like, it's a car crash.
Take a ride in the car.
But that's, yeah, or be in the audience or from the view, from the angle of the supposed sort of empty newspaper floor. Where the shot was
Texas school book depository.
Where the shot was supposedly taken from, like, it would be interesting to see those viewpoints and see what, like, it looked like. What was the angle the guy had for his shot? Oh. What would it have been like to be?
But like a bad taste theme park could be quite funny though. Just the entire thing is bad taste. Like you go into a maze and you got to find Madeleine McCann. And there's a car crash.
Neverland ride.
It's like
find the Greenwich rooms at Neverland.
Yeah, it's like can you last an hour at Neverland? It's just it would be so funny if you are
you
a deranged
hire actual
billionaire.
Pederast
yeah.
to run around
oh.
and interfere with people.
Caleb Brown, can you escape the Caleb Brown chamber prison room?
Can you be cast in a Harvey Weinstein video without being raped?
Like, oh, the Harvey Weinstein
the entire
room.
Theme park is this.
Can you get through half an hour of a Bill Cosby date awake?
This is horrible. I'm very uncomfortable.
Can you stay conscious in the set of the Cosby show?
Yeah, like, hologram Bill Cosby offers you three drinks and you gotta pick the one you want. Get the right one and it's like Monster Energy and you can get the, that'll enable you to get through the Neverland traps. But if you don't take it, you wake up outside and not know why your pants are on backwards.
All right,
well then. I like Ben's idea. I'm going to invest, Ben.
All right, so you guys go ahead and build it. I won't be coming. Not to that theme park.
But Bill Cosby fucking will.
All right, a few messages online from the internet. You can get us on 079-748-2090. You know, treat it like a WhatsApp chat, basically.
Just exactly right. What
oh,
it is.
Oh, my goodness. So, hi, Gareth. Hi, team. Hi, Gord. I love you, Gord. I'm sitting here in the business class lounge in Dubai waiting for my next flight because I'm very lucky. I snuck in here and I'm really tired and I'm dozing off and I hear you're going to have Claudine Ullman on the show. She's the most fantastic person ever. Love you, Claudie.
All right.
Anyway, guys, thanks for a great show. Bye.
Love you too. Very hot sounding travel girl.
Gordon.
Just reciprocating the love. It's polite.
Yeah. Okay. Here's something interesting. What is your comment on male earrings? The other day with mates, we were arguing about whether they're overrated or not. That's from Fundo. He wants to know what we think of male earrings.
I didn't know earrings had gender.
Well, men who wear earrings.
I just thought that was the 90s.
Yeah, I think you have to stop doing that once you finish varsity or high school. I had an earring in my left ear until I was like 21 or 22. Because it was what was done.
Was it cool?
It's
a heavy G.
Gareth, can you see my hole?
Yeah, I can. I can actually see a hole.
Okay, I still have a hole, apparently.
Okay, can we move on now and not talk about gold?
Well,
holes?
Does anyone have an opinion on dudes wearing earrings? I mean, you said it's from the 90s. I think it's a bit put, especially when you've got like diamondy looking ones on either side. I mean, flesh tunnels I thought were quite cool in like the 2000s, but now they're just something that's regrettable.
Why does that phrase sound so cringe? Flesh tunnel.
Did you just have a shiver run down your spine?
No, I got a bit.
Flesh
that's
tunnel.
That's grosser than Gord saying, can you see my hole?
Well, I don't know why two men who are close friends that are open-minded, supportive of each other cannot check out each other's holes.
Okay,
give
here we go.
Constructive feedback.
Alrighty. I saw an interesting infographic here.
Constrictive feedback.
All right. Can we move on from the whole
thing? Now, see us uncomfortable. You see,
so creating a feedback loop.
Everyone gets a chance to be uncomfortable this
Gord
morning.
Gord wanted us to take a photo last week and kiss each other.
I also have been trying to implement Naked Wednesdays for more than a year, and now it's winter, and you guys are going to have the perfect excuse now.
Okay, let's shut it down. All those in favor of Naked Wednesday say aye.
Aye.
There we go. May. That's one person. Three people didn't say anything. Sorry.
No, at least you took it to a vote, because for a year you've just been ignoring me.
Well, sorry that your idea flopped. Let's move on.
Gordon's
see us uncomfortable
I'm telling you.
About this course of conversation. Let's see what's going on. By the way, that seer on shrooms thing is what I came up with as an excuse to as to why he didn't reply to an email or something the other day.
Well, I am joining with Hi Rob in exactly 2.5 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Hi Rob and he said he's going to consider taking a day off work. And you know that if Hi Rob needs a day off work for the jewel he's got planned for me and my homie going to Amsterdam. Also, just quickly though, that's also I'm not going to be in for the next, I think, 3 shows or 2.
Okay.
But sorry about that. I'm going to be joiling my tits in Amsterdam, and I will try and in Ireland, and I will try to send through some voice notage, if it helps.
Yeah, we want to see you, Gord.
Oh, you're going to be in a coma.
Yeah.
You might have Naked Wednesdays all on your own. You and High Rob.
High Rob is a genuinely handsome man.
There goes Naked Wednesdays. High Rob was in, and now he's thinking, no way.
Check him out on Instagram. He's a good looking boy.
Whether you intend to or not, you are going to have Naked Wednesdays and probably land up in a coma. Have fun, Cord. All right, it's going to be fun.
Poor Sia, he was trying to get to a point.
Shrooms, you were saying, Sia.
I saw this interesting infographic put together about the age you peak at for various things.
All right.
So this is according to various sciences and surveys, and they've all consolidated it together for the average lifespan. So they've used ages from when you're born up until you're 85, mm-hmm. and they've dotted out at the age at which you peak at with various things. So for example, they say at 7 years old, that's your peak for learning a new language. 18 years old is your peak for brain processing power.
So if you haven't learnt a new language by 7, it gets harder from 7 on.
Mm. Yeah. So if you haven't learned to speak by, I think, 3 or 4, you never can.
Really?
Yep, proven. Noam Chomsky.
Linguistics and psychologists are still arguing about this one, but it's commonly accepted that learning a second language is easier for most people when you're younger and generally before puberty.
Wow.
The brain processing power peaks at 18. So they say,
so you're at your smartest at 18, because most 18-year-olds I encounter are total dipshits.
This is how they came to that conclusion. One of the key ways cognitive scientists test your brain's processing power is through what's called a digit symbol coding test. So they equate a number with a certain symbol. Then you give a string of numbers and you're asked to convert them to the correct symbols. So on average, 18-year-olds fare best on this task, according to a study that was published back in 2016.
Hmm.
The ability to remember unfamiliar names, that supposedly peaks at about 22.
I've never had that.
Women are most attractive to men at about 23.
Bollocks. Have you seen MILFs?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, but MILFs, that's a fetish thing. CS talking about averages, yeah.
So,
good point, Ben.
Life satisfaction first peaks at the age of 23. I found that interesting.
Or in the first sort of couple of months you start sleeping with me. But, yeah.
Okay. Well, this is not your opportunity to market yourself.
Ah, sorry. I listened to the Good Business, the Healthy Business podcast.
Okay. Well, speaking of
your pants back on.
No, but I mean, life satisfaction at what age?
For real? At 23. So
I find that, I legitimately find that hard to believe. I think you start coming into yourself. God, never mind. I think you start becoming comfortable with who you are and finding your identity and being less fazed about what other people think about you. And this is obviously anecdotal because it's based in part on my own experience, but also people I know.
Mm-hmm.
You're very uptight about superficial things and people's perception of you. And I just find that one surprising. If you told me 38 or 44, I'd probably buy it. But 23 for life satisfaction?
They came to that conclusion through a survey of about 20,000 people. And they found that 23-year-olds were particularly satisfied with their lives with all things considered.
Maybe it's like an optimism and potential looking forward.
It kind of makes sense, Gord, because if you're a fuck-up, by the time you reach 35, your life is the worst thing in the world. When you're 23, you're still naive enough to think that you've got potential and your life's actually going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Sad,
I buy that perspective as well. I mean, I still think for me it's... Anyway, surprising.
Riet in Cape Town, because you brought it up, Gord, says she listened to the first episode of the Healthy Business Show early this morning. I work for government, she says, but a whole lot of what is said in that first episode is very relevant, even with my work. I have made my two older kids promise me that they will listen because they can get great value for their own businesses. Thank you so much. That's Riet in Cape Town. By the way, that is a series which you can find on cliffcentral.com. It's brought to you by Discovery Business Insurance. And if you want to know more information, it's all on cliffcentral.com. Go and take a look. So thanks for the plug, Gord. All right. So
it's a kick-ass podcast, man. It wasn't a plug. It was relevant.
Here's some feedback for Gord. Someone says, I don't know how you don't lose your shit with Gord constantly talking over you. With every comment, he has to offer an opinion. Gareth can never finish a point with Gord barging in and diverting the conversation to himself.
To be fair, I don't barge. I just kind of stay seated in one spot. But I think that might be what I'm here for.
It's some constructive feedback.
That's why we love you, Gord. Yep.
hot girl from business class lounge loves it.
Yeah, well, she was half asleep, Gord. She's in between flights. Of course you think she's great. She's drowsy.
Did she say?
She went to the business class lounge to knock herself off with the last of the champagne.
So how come she didn't say anything nice about you, Ben?
She was too tired. She's, I heard Gord.
It's hard to miss Gord. All right, so.
How are you guys feeling about yourselves this morning?
Fantastic. Thanks for asking. Okay. I just got shot down by a stranger who doesn't like my contribution to a radio show that I'm committed to and love to do and put my heart and soul into. So I feel great. Thanks.
Okay. Even though you were a little pervy earlier, I'll hug you after this, Gord.
All right.
Just so that you feel better about yourself.
A lot of people are talking about Quentin de Kock this morning. What's that? Because of what, Ben, exactly?
I don't know.
Is there any reason for them to be extra excited about him today?
Don't think so.
Okay. A lot of people talking about my first period, and I thought, well, since we're four guys, let's talk about the first time we had a period.
Excuse me, what?
Well, that segment's over. On to you, yeah, Sia.
I went through a Slayer period when I was in my teens.
I'm like, who's talking about that? My first period?
You do, though. Well, as a dude, you have to come to terms with periods. People are still freaked out by that.
I don't want to get serious about this. I just brought it up because it's on as a trending topic on the all-important Twitter this morning.
Twitter, honestly.
That's what people are talking about today.
I don't think we're the ones to really comment on this, but here's something else that you might be interested in hearing. Mackenzie Bezos, the former wife. Do we call her the former wife of Jeff Bezos just yet?
Yes, I think that's fair.
Okay. Well, I think she's kind of doing this as a yes, she's being a selfless human being, but also a bit of a screw you, Jeff. I'm still a better person than you. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, from the divorce, she's getting $36 billion.
Right.
Well, now she's announced that she's giving half of it to charity.
Well, it still leaves her with a significant amount of billions.
What is that?
That is a
$18 billion.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a shitload of money to decide not to have.
Yeah, it's good.
And even though, like, $18 billion is kind of more money than you could squander it, but it would take serious work and planning. Like, that is Abramovich yacht that you've decided not to be able to afford for the good of other people.
She announced it yesterday, and she was one of 19 people to join the Giving Pledge. This is a campaign that was launched by the Buffetts and the Gates as well, and it calls for the super rich to give away more than half of their fortunes during their lifetimes or in their wills. I'm sorry, I'll give it away in my will.
Well, see,
it's a cool
lifetime
thing,
is still good. I still need to spend my money.
I mean, if you had 30-odd billion dollars and you gave half of it away, I think that's a praiseworthy thing. Let's give credit where it's due. You know, we're always knocking rich people by saying things that, you know, they only think of themselves and they're just mean and selfish and profiteer and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are singularly the greatest charity contributors in all of human history, these people, individually and severally.
Yeah.
So it's very, very interesting.
Well, in her official statement, she said, "In addition to whatever assets life has nurtured in me, I have a disproportionate amount of money to share. My approach to philanthropy will continue to be thoughtful. It will take time and effort and care." Just mind you, this is the world's third richest woman, according to Forbes magazine.
Well, she married well. And then divorced well. She deserves some credit.
She married well and divorced even better. That's
fair enough. All right. Very good. Someone says okay. Ben's got a trailer he wants to share with us this morning.
Well, last week we spoke about something very
off color about Gordsia and Ben, so I left it out.
Oh, no.
No, you got to share that stuff.
No, they didn't. I was just testing all three of you.
Garrett, to see how hungry you were for some sour mood feedback today.
No, I'm not.
Last week we had this teaser of a movie that's coming out this year.
Which is called?
Well, Gareth, the actual trailer then broke this week. This is how the excitement is mounting.
Broke the whole week.
As in, like, you know a movie's big when they have a teaser to a trailer.
Oh my god, Star Wars needs to do that.
Yes.
Get you well sick of it by the time the movie's out.
Teaser to trailer, here it is.
Should I just play it straight up? Yes. Oh god, alright, Ben is excited about, I know what this is. It's Downton Abbey, right?
I saw the trailer.
Look at that, like, unison, all the excitement.
I had once gained love and lost respect for Ben at the same time watching the trailer of that.
All right, I'll try to describe what's going on in this. Piano.
Ooh,
music.
Piano.
There we go. Piano music already in.
There's the famous music.
Strings.
Are you here for dinner, Mama? It's a buffet.
Well, I'm not changed.
You just need to take off your hat.
You talk as if that were easy.
You know what's great about this is that... nothing happens in Downton Abbey.
More Downton, less you, Cliff.
What's great is the fact that Ben is grinning from ear to ear.
Stop Mama, shouting over coming? Downton Abbey and talking about
Mama,
yourself, Gareth.
Are you coming for dinner? Yeah, I'm not dressed properly.
It's just a matter of taking off your hat, Gareth.
That's not as easy as it sounds.
Actual drama right there.
This is the happiest you've been the entire morning, Ben.
This just proves that aristocrats in the early 1900s had nothing to do except dress up for dinner.
Oh, but they were on some sex scandal shit.
I want every surface in this house to gleam and sparkle.
And those poor fucking servants. Yeah. Polishing the silver.
They had lots to do.
But madam polished it just yesterday. It's only a little bit tarnished on the one handle.
Oh, I've got lots of job satisfaction. I get things gleaming at the master's house. Oh, I'm great at that. I see the gleaming surfaces and I think you've done a right good job with your life.
Yes. And last night I made them a nice potato bacon.
Oh, they were so satisfied.
Didn't thank me at all. Because they're bloody rich and I'm bloody poor and I'm happy for their tuppence a week.
Oh, got an acknowledging glance. It was the greatest day of my life.
Well, this is actually how the class system was built. So, yeah, all right, go.
Gleam and sparkle.
The post's just arrived, my lord.
Heaven. What is it?
The king and queen are coming to stay.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
Finally.
Here we go.
Oh, it's picking up pace.
A royal mansion, a parade, and a dinner.
And a dinner?
I'm going to have to sit down.
I'm going to be making so much food for other people to enjoy, I think I need a breather.
And I'll have to say longer things than me, Lord. I'll have to say, Your Majesty.
But the great thing was, this is how the royals worked in those days. They're like, oh, we're going to go there. They send you the information that they're coming to you.
Yeah, and you have to.
They don't get invited.
And by the way, it costs you when they come.
It just runs some houses into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And like, they can make a movie. They're like, cool, we've got this existing entertainment property. People are quite attached to it. We need to like extend the regular episodes now into a full movie. Well, let's do a dinner.
With the king and queen.
Yeah, it's a dinner. And they must get ready for it.
It's very exciting.
Well, if you're a fan of the show, you were always wondering, would the king and queen ever come?
We were always
wondering. Were they hoping the king and queen would come?
Ben's right, we were always
wondering.
Was
that a thing, though, in the show? Like, will they come, won't they come?
Well, that's just it, Gord. Because then they would obviously have their house completely glorified the way it should have been.
Ah.
Well,
until the king and queen are there, you just, no.
It's not important
enough. You just drink gin.
My day has been changed.
Well, there it is, yeah. I can retire now as well.
All right, Ben. Well, we're lucky because we have Claudine Ullman here. You got a shout out just now from somebody in a Dubai airport who said...
She was very drunk, though.
She was quite drunk, but she said she loves you. She said you're the funniest person she's ever seen live. And she's thrilled that you're on the show this morning. So, I mean, that's
thank
not,
you. I will take it.
I'm not
I will
gonna,
take any shout
sure,
out I get,
but
drunk
isn't
or
that,
not.
Isn't that mean, though, that she's kind of over-promised now, and if you under-deliver, you know how
well, I'm okay with that sort of pressure. I know how good I am. I'm absolutely fine.
Yeah, but
I will take it.
But also, just after the Downton Abbey trailer, I mean, we really are setting you up.
That's also technically...
Yeah, you guys have... I mean, that accent work, I was impressed.
It's technically global...
I want to join in.
Technically global superstardom when we get fan feedback from Dubai. Like,
from the business lounge,
yeah.
Remember?
Ooh,
she did name it her business lounge. That's
so let's talk
was.
About Claudine for a second because she has a new one-woman show in the works. She's also been selected to perform at the National Arts Festival and is gearing up to show her chops at the Edinburgh Festival in August this year. Very
you do exciting. Chops as well.
I do. I lamb chops. I'm on high keto diet.
Wow.
High keto.
Now, the last time we spoke to her, she's busy singing in our studio. You had that thing with the jittery citizens.
I know. I miss this place. I haven't been here in forever.
Well, I don't miss that show because sometimes you had good people, but my God, sometimes they were a appalling.
Yes, yes. And then we were like, okay, this is not the right format for radio. It's okay when you've got amazing singers, but when you don't, it's, so that was a good test show for
But how are you otherwise? I mean, it sounds like things are going very well.
Yeah, I am living the dream, loving comedy, loving performing. I've moved more into stand up. My one.
Isn't it hard?
Yes, really hard. It's so hard. I think what improv comedy taught me, which is comedy that's made up on the spot, which is what I used to do on Cliff Central. Mm-hmm. It's taught me to have a thick skin and a quick mind. And I think that's what's helped me with my stand-up career.
If you only have one of those, you go down in flames.
Right? Yeah, you're out.
I literally have a thick skin and not that quick of a mind. It's not really that good of a combo. I don't recommend it.
If you have both, it's a very fortunate combination, though. Okay, so I've always had huge respect for comedians, but improv comedy is a whole different world. Yeah. I remember watching that show. The first time we ever really saw a TV show with anything like this in it was Whose Line Is It Anyway?
What a great show.
There was something.
What a great show.
It was,
It's now Improvaganza, and they do it in Vegas. Big Vegas show.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. And a lot of people think that it's written and it's, you know, not actually improvised. It totally is improvised. The moment you write improv.
That sounds like a jewel, though. I'd like to get involved with that. How do you go and start finding your way into an improv comedy society club slash whatever?
Well, I have a troupe. Called the Jittery Citizens.
And you talk to Claudine.
You talk to me. You literally, you get hold of me and I do training for individuals or corporates or people who are looking to get the benefits of improv. So not necessarily become improvisers.
But you can learn.
So it's like a team building
thing. Everybody can learn. It's like the piano. I'm on middle C. Mm-hmm. At the moment, and I am so bad. And the reason why I'm so bad is because I don't practice. And improv is a skill, which means it can be learned, it can be practiced.
But you do like corporate team building and stuff. How does one go about contacting you for improv training?
You get hold of me at Claudine_Ullman or Claudine Ullman Comedy or at Jittery Citizens.
Just look her up on social media.
Social media.
Ignore him. He's flirting. He's just trying to pick you up.
I'm married, babe.
He doesn't actually care.
Just actually want to do some improv comedy, Ben.
Ben.
You're invited. Worst in everybody. This is your official invitation.
You probably don't think they're going to put on a successful shindig for the king. Negative.
Nancy.
Yeah. It was almost there.
I was going to say Neville because I'm trying to be non-gender discriminatory. Okay, well, let's just talk about your show for a second because you're not here for your health. I mean, you know, this is important.
Yes,
Your debut show, it's called Artificially Infeminated. And you talk about what it's like to grow up female, white, and plus-sized.
Yes. I mean,
sounds like something good.
I mean, I wish it wasn't the case.
They're going to accuse me of flirting if I say to you, I hashtag relate to this and I really want to know more.
Total flirt.
Just like, you know, interested in that.
What's the show? Come on. Tell us, share a little bit of insight.
So basically it's directed by Rob Van Vuren, who is one of the greatest comedians of our time.
Yeah, he's well funny.
He's so funny. And it's actually my journey into who I am as a woman and what it means to be a woman. And I play a whole lot of characters. So I did a New York tour last year, New York and London tour.
Right.
And while I was there, I was like, a lot of people are doing alternative things, alternative comedy. So, people are doing characters and people are doing, LGBTQSR, all those things, comedy. And I was like, this is amazing. And we are in South Africa. We're very purist and conservative. Yeah. And I was like, let me come back and do some audience interaction, clowning stuff. How do I make the audience a part of the show? I want the audience to feel like they're coming to my show and they are having a party. So Rob's helped me with that.
It's hard to do that. I'm glad that Rob's involved because he really is. I mean, you're not wrong to call him a genius. He's a very smart guy and he's put together TV shows.
Plays. And ads, brilliant plays. And
so this thing's going to go from Joburg to Grahamstown.
So yes, I'm starting my South African tour. Mm-hmm. Joburg, Grahamstown, PE, Durban, Cape Town this year, and then next year overseas.
Very, very nice.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. So a couple of things. I mean, do you, I'm curious as to what your influences are when it comes to comedy, because you just said you've been to New York and London, and you were sort of seeing what they were up to there. But what kind of material gets you interested? Because you don't want to do what everyone in South Africa is doing. You know, talk about politics and race.
No.
It's over, right?
It's over, and it's just, I don't find it funny. I find it worrying, actually. Mm. So the stuff I am actually into and the comics that I'm into, I am all female. Female comics, feminism, all that stuff. Overseas,
are we allowed
it's
to
huge.
Watch if we have penises?
Yes, you are.
Oh, that's early.
You're allowed to enjoy. It's a lot harder for us,
to
be honest.
Do you make us pay more?
No, you pay the exact same amount.
Even if we have
you
those,
pay emotionally. Even you pay
though,
emotionally.
Even though we have those meetings with the rest of the patriarchy to keep you women down?
Yeah, well, that's what I was just about to say. That's exactly what happens. Oh. So we do the same jokes as John Flismas, or we do jokes as, you know, other comics that are a little bit risque, and it's over the top, and it's too much, and it's crude. So we kind of... My whole mission is to break those boundaries. So I saw a lot of feminist comics overseas. I'm obsessed with comics like Ali Wong, Margaret Cho.
I like Margaret Cho.
Oh,
she's
lovely. She's so great. A lot of character comics. So Tracy Ullman.
Tracy Ullman.
No.
That's what you were waiting for.
I know I was like Tracy, sisters.
Tracy Ullman has this brilliant show on, which I don't think gets as much attention as it might have in the glory days of television.
Yes.
But she plays Angela Merkel, Theresa May. She's just really, really brilliant at doing impressions.
She's so great.
It's the best, right?
She's so, so great. So someone like Rowan Atkinson, he's very clowny. Mm-hmm. I'm moving over to that side of the world. Clowny, physical performance, characters. With some stand-up here and there.
That sounds very good.
Yeah.
I want to play you a little clip of Angela Merkel, just so you can hear how well she does it. She's really, really good. This is a clip of her playing Angela Merkel.
Tracy Ullman, not
Claudine Ullman, but I mean, we'll give you the credit anyway. You brought her up.
Thanks.
I saw this the other day and just thought I haven't spoken about it on the show. It might be interesting to some people. So here's a clip of her meeting Emmanuel Macron, the French president. And she looks just like Angela Merkel.
Really?
She's wearing the same boxy suits. She has the same hairstyle. It's amazing. I don't know what kind of prosthetics they use, but it's really good. And even the Theresa May, and God bless poor old Theresa May, who's now out of a job.
Yeah, sure.
She looks just like her in the clips that she does of her as well. So here it is. This is Tracy Ullman playing Angela Merkel and meeting Emmanuel Macron. Let's just see if I can get this clip actually working. That would be nice. You know, don't you love technology? Always on your side. By the way, while we're waiting for that, I'll tell you quickly about Jittery Citizens. They are South Africa's improv comedy troupe. They specialize in performance and corporate entertainment, team building workshops, and corporate training. And Claudine, who's our guest this morning, will take participants through the fundamental principles of improv, including thinking quickly on your feet. People have trouble with that.
People really do have trouble with that. There's a lot of brain fog, a lot of stuff that gets in the way.
And people freeze. They don't know how to deal with things. They immediately go and then back out of situations instead of leaping into them.
Yeah, and the great thing about improv is you're learning kind of how to fail, which is so wonderful.
Right.
You know, so you're like, cool, I stuffed up. How do I move on as quickly as possible? Because when is Charlie Chaplin the funniest? Slips on the banana peel. It fails.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so it really is about dealing with failure as well.
Here's this Angela Merkel. Let me just play this for you quickly.
I'm using bookshelf beige on your cheeks, mein Chancellorette. It goes with your eyes.
Remind me again who this meeting is with today. I quite forgot.
Well, the other one. It's got alpine bells on.
All right, I know it is Emmanuel Macron, but it is not as if I have been counting the days in Manhattan.
I know what you're like when you're around him. Don't be taken in by his saucy Gallic charm.
Oh, Birgit, I know the difference between real politics and what a lady leader thinks about in the bath. Don't worry, I will be 200% professional.
Wow, 300%.
Oh. Emmanuel.
Angela. May I?
Yeah.
Please. Are you wearing bookshelf beige?
Oh, you know this.
So it's really clever. It's very,
she's amazing.
She's very, very good. But with, wow. With character stuff, it must be fun because it's partly acting and character stuff. You can be forgiven a lot more.
Yes, totally. As and I can say things that I can't say as a woman, female, Claudine.
Yeah.
Plus size, white, chubby, Jewish lady.
Are you allowed to, in inverted commas, put on blackface and pretend you're a black woman?
Definitely not.
Really? You don't do that?
No not way. No, no way.
So if you are required to put on like a Jacob Zuma accent, you're not allowed to do it.
I wouldn't even go there. We already have,
you get so much heat for it.
Yeah. Oh. I already have so much trouble as a woman in terms of what I'm allowed to say and where I'm allowed to go. So I'm kind of just exploring what it's like to do male, white, Jewish male character.
But that's so safe because the white male Jews are never going to complain about you.
I know. So the truth is,
easy, for God's sake.
It is easy. Well, no, it's not easy. That's not true. It's not easy because we still are 50 years behind the international scene. So we've got a lot of growing to do as a country. So it's kind of, I've got to ease them into it.
Now, this is not your problem, but this is a country problem.
Yes.
So I'm asking this of everybody. How are we ever going to get better if there's certain areas that are no-go zones? Like if you're a white person, you can't pretend to be black, and you're a black person, you can't pretend to be white.
No, I think black people are allowed to pretend to be white.
Yes, I also.
You agree though that there's a line, there's a blurry gray area that is dangerous territory? I mean, this is what you're saying, Claudine.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think some people just need to get a sense of humor. I mean, there is sometimes you're just being nasty for the purpose of upsetting people, but other times it's like about context and you're holding a mirror up to society. So some people, I believe in GARP, get a real problem. Some people literally are pissed off as a hobby.
Yeah.
And if that's your hobby, if being upset's your hobby, and you'd hope when you wake up in the morning, please, Lord, let today be a day where something happens I can get really upset about, then you need God.
That's people are going to get upset whatever you do. Yeah, they're going to get upset.
But some people love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like, oh my God, someone to lynch.
Yes.
It's called recreational outrage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a
sport,
real thing.
And to those people, I recommend GARP.
So I've started with Gaza. He's one of them, and he's a Jewish boy, and, you know.
He goes to gym.
Oh. Not really, actually.
Works at
He's head boy.
Oh, he's head boy, okay.
But he's been with your mom, you know what I mean? He's head boy, but he got a blows last night, you know? He's like that sort of character. Which is really fun because I do the characters with audience interaction. So I'm talking to the audience, so I'm bringing the audience.
You gotta have
a
certain kind of audience to do that, right? You can't some audiences, you don't need an audience that's heckling you. You need an audience that's involved.
I need an audience that wants to party and be involved, totally. So, and what I'm learning from doing it every night and going to the clubs and, you know, interacting with these audiences is not all audiences are ready for this type of show, but we're getting there. Yes.
See, I think it takes a certain, I find a lot of this stuff is a bit, it's touchy. Some people do arrive for comedy with the best intention. Like they're arriving to laugh. But some people have had a shit day and they're not in the mood and they didn't come there to laugh. And it's something that's being imposed on them by their boss who thought, oh, let's make the people laugh because then they'll feel better about their job. And they get there and they're not having a good time. And those people can be hard to deal with. They are sometimes not cooperative.
But
in the best sense.
What's really helped me with that? Is my improv training. Somebody in the middle of Gaza, I was performing and the whole night this person wasn't laughing, was like heckling everybody. Oh. And in the middle of Gaza set, like my set of Gaza said, you're not even funny. Mm. And then as Gaza, I had to be like, who thinks we should give this dude a detention? Aye, let's get rid of him. Let's send him out. Let's send him to the principal. And I was like, thank God I managed. And then afterwards I got off stage and broke down and I was like, oh my God. It sucks when there's like people in the audience.
All right, but how do you feel about stuff that, because these audiences are also, they get very, there's certain stuff. Everything's funny until it happens to you. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So as soon as someone, if it becomes personal for someone, have you ever had any people get up and walk out, get up and leave in a temper and like swear at you from the back of the room? Because that happens.
That does happen.
It happens to comedians. There are a lot of angry people.
Yeah, like an in-audience hissy.
Yeah.
I haven't had that. I haven't had that. And I think it's, I don't know, maybe my stuff is not as controversial as it should be then. Maybe it is too safe if nobody's walking out of my show.
You've got to be, you've also got to play this very awkward balancing game. If you're going to do corporate stuff, you can't be so edgy that you scare people.
Yeah,
out
you
of
can't.
Room.
Yeah,
and you
can't.
Said some of your audiences aren't ready for it, but at the same time, if nobody's like storming out in hissies, maybe you've got a nice balance of some people being wide-eyed and incredulous about, oh my God, did she just say that? And other people not storming out in a tantrum. I think that's your sweet spot.
Yeah. I do. I think I found my
sweet spot. I discovered this morning Ben's sweet spot is Mrs. Patmore's kitchen.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Which is very busy because the king and queen are coming.
So every surface must gleam, Ben.
I did get a message here from somebody who said, when is this stupid movie of Ben's? Do you know when it's coming out?
Oh, with that tone, why should I give you an answer?
Ooh, oh, curmudgeonly Ben.
That's going down.
Shit just went. Thank God it's not Naked Wednesday, or the chill in this room would, it'd be like a Denny Mushroom in black grass.
That's absolutely disrespectful.
I'll ask the question in my tone then, Ben. Ben, when is your movie coming out?
Don't know. September. So look, September in America, so I don't know from there.
Oh, okay.
You know, we always get things later.
How dare you slander Mrs. Patmore and Daisy?
Exactly.
They all form an integral part of the downstairs at Downton, says somebody. Of course the royals had to come to Downton. You see what gets people's attention. At some point, it all started with the Titanic, the Spanish flu, the wars, Irish independence, the Teapot Dome scandal, the noble Russian exiles, and ends with Lady Edith's illegitimate child.
People are big fans.
Wow, this is unbelievable.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I find it a little hard to get my head around, but hey, different strokes.
And then Dre says, the quickest way to identify someone who is not used to traveling is when they either must mention they're in the business lounge, like the earlier caller, or when they tag their trip onto Facebook. Person X is traveling from OR Tambo to Accra.
Ow.
That's so annoying, says Dre.
Dre.
Jeez, Dre, maybe you should look into GARP. It might be for you.
That's the term of the day.
Yes. GARP, yeah.
First you need GARP.
A lot of people here. There's three more messages. I love Downton Abbey. Shut it up, all of you. And I also miss Downton Abbey. Lots happens there, man.
They should make a musical where it's a bit more up-tempo and it can be Upton Abbey. I'll just leave.
But
you got to learn.
You better come for improv training.
You got to learn to die on stage. I got that from improv training. I just recovered.
Yes, that is true as well. You got to learn to die.
So here we have two contrasting opinions on Gord, and then we're going to get to the onion.
Oh God, I'm looking forward to this.
Someone says it really is the Gord Laws show featuring Gareth Ben and Sia.
I think we should rename it that. I'm perfectly okay with that.
There's a contrasting opinion to that.
And Cindy says, this is the best day. I love waking up to Cliff Central on a Wednesday morning because of Gord.
Two positive feedbacks on me.
Nice.
Thank you, guys.
Cindy,
if you play your cards right, you can wake up next to Gord.
You can have free improv training.
You can wake up with Gord more often than just Wednesday.
Gord, right. Everything doesn't have to be
free. Free improv training.
That's where you're on.
It doesn't have to be, but it can be.
Claudine, a message that's just come in from somebody else. It says, Claudine should know Edinburgh is miserable. Have you not seen Danny Boyle's Train Spotting? There is a reason that Queen Elizabeth conferred Edinburgh as a substantive title to Prince Philip instead of Glasgow or some other bustling metropolis. You have absolutely no reason to go there unless profanity, methamphetamines, and fog are your vibe.
Me and Gareth
totally
are going festivaling
there. Totally my vibe. That is terrifying, and thank you for the heads up. I assume that during Edinburgh Festival Week, it's not all train spotting.
The only thing
there is a little bit of sunshine and music and
theater. The only thing he mentioned that sounded like a negative thing was fog. Unless the fog is directly related to the methamphetamine, in which case that's the kind of fog you want in your life.
All right.
Yeah. This place is a jewel. Don't go.
We got to wrap this up. What mindset does it take to make it in business? Is work-life balance a myth? What turns great employees disloyal? And how damaging is burnout? These are all questions that you should know the answers to. You can join Fred Rhode on episode 2 of the Healthy Business Show as he gets to answer all of these questions about psychological dynamics in leading a business and the personal attributes and awareness that can set you apart in a competitive environment. Listen today live at 9 a.m. or get the podcast right now on cliffcentral.com. Wherever you listen, Spotify or on Stitcher, or on Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is you get them. It's all brought to you by Discovery Business Insurance. You can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com. Claudine, thanks for popping by.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck with your one-woman show. Yeah. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
I hope we'll see you again soon. Gordo, thank you so much.
Love you guys.
Thanks very much for joining us this morning. It's time for the unnews. Here are the big stories that you need to pay attention to. Otherwise, you will not be able to forge forward in today and make any kind of progress. All right? So here it is. The important stuff. EFF are in the spotlight again. Reports suggest money from the VBS looting paid for a large party. But Julius Malema is denying it, of course. He says he doesn't need VBS money to have fun. He has fun with much dirtier money than that. And he wants the media to stop underestimating him. Adam Katsavelos finally got to court to defend his racist ways. But it was a real letdown for all involved. Katsavelos didn't have a lawyer and the EFF couldn't even spare a ragtag crowd of verbal abusers. They must still be hungover from the VBS bank parties. And in final news, sports news, the Cricket World Cup starts tomorrow. And the Proteas are feeling very confident ahead of their first match against England. Faf du Plessis says he expects the press to throw the choker's tag around at every stage, to which he says he has a simple response. His balls. He intends pulling them out of wherever and whenever they need it and telling people to choke on them rather than bring up past matches. All right, so there we go. We'll see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Blah, 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 blah.
This is CliffCentral.com.